What's up? Back here on Sports Talk here on WWL. Steve Geller with Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, and happy to welcome in NOLA.com columnist and for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate, Jeff Duncan, joining us here on WWL. Jeff, appreciate the time, man. How you doing this Thursday?
Guys, I'm doing great. I'm ready for a little R&R as we get through with this mini camp, and hopefully everyone gets a little chance to get away and then get back here for a training camp, which I don't know about you all, but it feels like there's some excitement for the first time in a while around Saints camp.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the positive vibes are definitely a lot higher going into this season. Jeff, wanted to ask you about one of the new additions to this black and gold team. I know you got to talk with David Edwards recently. Felt that was one of the biggest adds, obviously, this offseason for this squad. A much-needed spot there at left guard. A plug-and-play guy, obviously, that you got from the Buffalo Bills. Been there, done that. Has a Super Bowl ring as well with the L.A. Rams. But overall, your impressions of Edwards, to me, talking to him, I think I told you this even, just hearing him sounds like a Zach Strief kind of guy.
That's what I was getting ready to say, Steve. He reminds me so much of Strief. He's a massive human being. It's hard to believe he used to play quarterback in high school. I mean, good Lord.
They all did.
Guy.
They all did.
Yeah. I know. And he played tight end and went to college as a tight end. But, man, what a great guy. You could see why they liked him. Fills a need. Obviously, left guard's been a bit of a revolving door the last few years. And, he just seems like he's going to step in very quickly and be something of a leader for this team. And that's hard to do in your first year in an established locker room. But I like everything I heard and everything he said about Tyler Shuck as well. I mean, you really see the impact Tyler Shuck's made on a lot of these veteran players.
Yeah, and David, you know, he's kind of a fascinating player because he's been with, you know, Matt Stafford and Josh Allen. And so when he talks about Tyler Shuck's processing ability at the line of scrimmage, you know, you believe him because he's seen the two MVP candidates and how they're able to operate in that realm. But, you know, one thing we were talking about earlier in the show, and it, you know, David Edwards is actually not an example of this, but, you know, the continuity that this offense is bringing back and the team in general, really, but specifically at quarterback, at play caller. You know, you have to go back to 2020 for the last time the Saints weren't either trying to replace their head coach, play caller, or starting quarterback, right? Like, they've been constantly in flux since Sean Payton left and really since Drew Brees left. And I don't know. Like, I look at this team, and particularly of these first few practices where they've been a lot more active, they've done a lot more full team drills. I feel like that continuity is kind of like a secret weapon this year that we saw for 15 years, you know, with Drew and Sean, and then it disappeared. And getting that back for a young quarterback, especially, it feels like it's going to be a major theme for this offense, is kind of hitting the ground running in a way that we just haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, Jeff, that's a really good point. And I think a little bit of an overlooked factor for this team is the fact they were able to keep almost the entire coaching staff intact. I mean, you know, remember, I think Scott Tolzien had an opportunity to leave. Chase Haslett had an opportunity to leave. They stayed put. That's a testament, I think, to the culture that that Kellen Moore has established, the fact these guys want to stay here and keep working under him. But I think it's also a huge benefit for the team because the whole coaching staff's back. And you can see it. There's a confidence and a comfort level on both sides of the ball. We've heard some of the defensive guys talking about their second year and Brandon Staley's system, but I think it's really going to matter on offense, like you said, especially with Shuck. I mean, if you just think about a year ago what we were seeing from Shuck, and obviously his head was swimming. He was a rookie, a lot being thrown at him, but you can just see he's just so much more comfortable and in command, and I think that in itself is giving confidence to everyone around him, including the coaching staff.
So we spent – this is Mike Hoss, Jeff. I haven't said hello to you yet. Hello. We spent the entire commercial break before you came on talking about Alvin Kamara and multiple situations and this and that and that. I'm just curious, like, how does – in your world right now, how does this end for Alvin? You know, roster, you know, where does it end?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows right now, Mike, except probably Alvin and maybe Mickey Loomis, the general manager. I think he's Mickey Loomis is basically making that call, I think, by himself. And I don't think it's over. I don't think it's just understood that Alvin is going to be a part of this team in 2026. I really don't. I think there's a lot of uncertainty there. It was a weird, we talked about the vibes being positive earlier. That vibe is a little weird to me. I mean, he feels and looks a little like an outsider to me. For a guy that's been such a core player, the leading rusher, a team captain, he doesn't look like he fits right now. The analogy I used is like, and this may be a bad analogy, but we all had like a guy that we went to high school with that maybe was a year ahead of us, and their class graduated, and he didn't go off to college, and then he kept coming back to your parties your senior year and didn't move on, that guy. That's what it feels like. He hasn't moved on. The rest of the team is together, and I don't know. I don't know where it's going to end, but I definitely do not think there's any resolution to that matter.
Yeah, the way I've been kind of talking about it is like it just feels like Calvin's on a different timeline from a whole lot of the roster in terms of what you're looking at.
Right.
And you could say the same thing about Cam Jordan, which is what I want to ask you about. But what I think is relevant for Cam Jordan is he really kind of accepted last year, it felt like, what his new role in this defense is going to be, in that he played 50% of the snaps. He had a 10-sack season. Like, he saw that, hey, if I, I'm able to be productive even as a part-time player. He's not playing 95% of the snaps anymore, but he is still getting opportunities. I think that's the difference is, like, Cam, it seems like, is ready to embrace this part of his career. And I do wonder if that's one of the biggest question as far as Alvin is concerned, is how willing is he going to be to embrace a de-emphasized role? But I do want to get your take on Cam coming back as well.
Yeah, no, Jeff, that's a good point. I think there's a noted difference just in the way you've heard Kellen Moore talk about the situations, right? I mean, when we ask Kellen Moore about Alvin, there's a lot of vagary. And, I mean, Kellen's not the most, candid guy to begin with, but you can just tell there's a difference there. There's something missing in the Kamara situation that isn't the case with Cam. And I think Cam and Mickey Loomis have had an open line of communication all offseason, even though he's an unrestricted free agent. He was talking and his agent was talking to the organization. I don't think that's been the case with Kamara. I think a big part of the problem has been Alvin's been away, and not only has he been away, hasn't really been in communication. So they don't really know what he's thinking. And I think that's added to a lot of this uncertainty with him. But the thing I like about Cam coming back is he seems like he's in a really good place. I love what I heard from him. I think he understands exactly where he's at. And I think getting the defined role in this defense, hearing what that role is going to be was important to him, and I think he's happy with what it's going to be.
As we look ahead to late July and training camp that will begin in Metairie, I can't remember a time when we've had kind of a less opinion, not bad or good, of kind of this draft class. We just with Jordan and Kristen and Oscar, has been out there. He had tweaked the hamstring some, but just we don't know yet, right?
Yeah, no, though, because of the injuries, because of the way this staff and organizational philosophy with injuries, they're just so cautious. I don't think I've ever seen a staff and a head coach treat injured players with this much kind of caution, but you have to give them the benefit of the doubt right now because they definitely improved in that area a year ago with Ted Rapp. I know the organization is very happy with his addition and how he was able to work the roster a year ago. But I do think they're going to lean heavily on, obviously, Jordan Tyson is going to be one of the top two receivers. There's no doubt. And I think Christian Miller, if he doesn't start, he's definitely going to get a heavy rotational workload in the middle there. They really like what they see from him, what little we have seen from him. I think they think with him and Vernon Broughton, they're going to be a lot more stout and a lot more athletic along the interior line. And an area that maybe last year was a big weakness could actually be a little bit of a strength.
Curious your thoughts here on the wide receivers, Jeff. Obviously, we didn't get to see a lot of Jordan Tyson or even Chris Olave during the mini camp at all, but some of the other guys got a chance to be more active. Was there any of the younger or new addition wide receivers that kind of caught your attention? You're looking forward to seeing more of come camp time.
Well, they got a ton of reps, right? I mean, yeah. A ton of time. There was some struggles. Look, getting open, getting separation against that first team defense was a bit of a struggle without Olave and Tyson, but that's to be expected. Any team in the league takes out their top two receivers, you're going to struggle. But I think Jalen Polk has definitely stepped forward, and along with Devon Bailey, I think they're clearly number three, number four, however you want to rotate them. I think either one is going to be three or four. And that certainly is way better than I think they were at a year ago. I think Polk has probably had as good off season as anybody on the roster. And I know they're very excited about how far he's come and how the buy-in he's made. But I think it's still to be determined behind those guys. There's just so many players on the roster. I think they've got like 13 receivers on the roster. I don't know if they'll take them all to camp. But I'll tell you another guy to keep an eye on, guys. I mean, I don't think people realize, I mean, this kicker they signed yesterday from the UFL.
Tanner?
That's not a camp body. I'm telling you, keep an eye on him. This is a guy to watch. Would not surprise me at all if he won that job.
No, yeah. I think they've always wanted significant competition for Charlie, always, to push him. To can he be the consistent kicker they want?
Yeah, I agree. I think they wanted to bring him. They obviously brought in Mason Shipley for the same reason. They were looking at veteran kickers as well. But this guy's got a leg. I know a lot of teams around the league were interested in signing him. That was a good get for the Saints, and I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to it because I think they just think, hey, it's Charlie Smith's job, but I don't think organizationally they're thinking that way.
Yeah, we're talking about Tanner Brown. He was a kicker for the Louisville Kings last year. I looked this up yesterday. He went 29 of 32, and two of those misses were from 50-plus. He went 7 of 9 from 50-plus. His long was from 60. So yeah, there's some talent there, and everyone's trying to find the next Brandon Aubrey. So it just just makes sense that you'd take a swing at it. Just switching over to the defensive side, what stood out to you on that side of the ball? Obviously we've seen Jonas Sanker kind of own that star position at this stage. That was a big question going in, but what's kind of your broad assessment of the defense at this point?
Well, on the positive side, Jeff, I think the starting unit is very solid. I don't see really any major weaknesses there. It's kind of one of these things, just like a year ago, I don't see any all pros over there, but I think the whole is greater than the individual parts. They just play very well together. They're very comfortable right now in the scheme. I think Brandon Staley's so good at the coordinating of that scheme that players, we've seen guys like Chase Young and even Nathan Shepard and Cam Jordan really have their career breakout years in this scheme. So I think the D is fine. The area I'm concerned about is at corner after you get past the starters. I mean, Quincy Riley and Kool-Aid McKinstry are the clear starting guys, but there's a real lack of depth there. And if one of those guys goes down, I think it's a real problem area. They brought in Martin Emerson late as a corner, but I do think that's an area that they would love to upgrade, but, man, that's a hard position to find at this stage. This could be another area that we look at in the draft a year ago. And I can tell you, if Jordan Tyson were not the first-round pick, I think it would have been Mansoor Delane from LSU if he was still available. Those were the two guys they really wanted there. So I think that speaks to the cornerback position, how much they still view that as probably an area of need.
It's a ritual of summer. We get the email from Jeff Duncan, and he goes, all right, fellas, here we go.
Season prediction time.
I don't know when this daggone this thing started for you, but is it coming again?
Yeah, it's coming again, and I know you'll be the glass three-quarters full guy.
I'm already done. I'll give it to you right now. 10-6-1.
What are you going with?
10-6-1.
I like it.
I did during the draft. Mike D'Antilia said, "What do you think? We were just playing around," and I said, "He said, what's your prediction for the season?" And I said, 10-6, because I completely forgot about the 17th game. And he goes, "There's 70 games." And I said, "All right, 10-6-1 So that's it.
Sold.
So that's been, I'm sticking with it. 10-6-1
Subplot of Jeff going around and getting all these predictions is that he has to go get Bobby's in person because Bobby's never sent an email. And so I always, every year, I watch Jeff being like, hey, Bobby, what's your record prediction? And about 90 words later, we still haven't gotten the number. But it always comes out in the end.
Very true, Jeff. I mean, I cannot believe, and Bobby said this with a straight face, and then we've all talked about it. He says he's never sent an email in his life, that his wife handles his email. He's never sent one. It's mind-boggling to me, but then if you know Bobby, it shouldn't surprise anybody, right?
It's true. I told him, I said, it's awkward. I go, when I begin the email, do I go, Joan and Bobby? Do I go, Bobby? Well, how do I start the email? It's a little tricky.
No, look, he's one of a kind.
He's unique, baby.
Thank goodness there's only one of him. That's all I got to say.
Jeff, we always ask the players and coaches what they have planned during the break. You got anything good coming up, either work-wise that you have coming out or vacation-wise?
Well, I know you guys probably know this. I think I talked about it with Mike the other day. I mean, I'm working on this LSU book. I've got a book project I'm working on for next year, and I think there's going to be some interesting content coming out of the LSU football and basketball season this year. So, yeah, it might be a soap opera worth writing about.
Always appreciate the time, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us here on WWL, man. Be seeing you at a training camp soon.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. You guys have a great weekend coming up. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times, Picayune and NOLA.com, joining us there, getting some early impressions on the black and gold.
Yeah, Steve, I want to clean one thing up. We're talking about Tanner Brown. I actually shorted him a little bit. I was right on the total. He was 29 or 32. I was going from memory. But so he was 7 of 9 from 50-plus in the regular season. In the postseason, 3 of 3 from 50-plus. 2 of 2 from 60-plus.
Gamer. Holy cow.
Including a make from 63 yards. So he was 3 of 3 from 60-plus
last year.
And those were playoff games.
Right. He's not Blake Groupie small, but he's not a big cat. I got
6 foot 177, which is reasonable for a kicker.
I guess you're right.
I mean, put him next to Blake Groupie.
He was standing next to Ryan Wright and Charlie.
Charlie
and Ryan Wright. Ryan could play linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, so maybe that's what it was.
You go 3 for 3 from 60 plus, people are going to start looking your way.
That's right.